Let us pray. Grant us a vision, Lord, to see what we can achieve, to reach beyond ourselves, to share our lives with others, to stretch our capabilities, to increase our sense of purpose, to be aware of where we can help, to be sensitive to your presence, and to give heed to your constant call. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. A midrash is an aspect of Jewish literature that seeks to ask questions that lie on the tip of our tongues and then to answer them before we even pose them. It is commonly defined as the process of interpretation by which the rabbis filled in the gaps found in the Torah, the Jewish scriptures. For instance, what made Cain kill Abel? Was it jealousy over his own rejected sacrifice? Why would God choose the sacrifice of one brother over the other? Did Isaac know that his father intended to sacrifice him on that altar? Did Sarah know what was going on? These are only a few of the thousands of questions for which the rabbis search for answers. And in the Hebrew text today for today, the binding of Isaac, the majority of Jewish religious commentators argue that God was testing Abraham to see if he would actually kill his own son as a test of loyalty. Some read the text in another way. An early rabbinic midrash imagines God saying, "I never considered telling Abraham to sacrifice Isaac." God desired a spiritual sacrifice and could never condone such a revolting thing. The majority of Christian biblical commentators understand the story as prefiguring God's plan to have his own son Jesus die on the cross as a substitute for humanity, much like the ram God provided for Abraham, which fulfilled Abraham's reply to Isaac's question of where was the animal to be used for the sacrifice. What would be a living midrash for you and me in 2020? Maybe it would be trying to understand the pandemic we are experiencing and its threat socially, politically, and economically. Or the evolving social movements such as Black Lives Matter or the Poor People's Campaign. Our story today should make us uncomfortable. It should make us ask what kind of God would ask such a sacrifice of a parent. It brings us face to face with those moments in life that are untenable, unbearable, where God appears absent, or even worse, possibly behind some of the tragic circumstances that befall our world and our own lives. As one commentator put it, human beings throughout the years have done unspeakable acts to each other in the name of God, and this text is as gruesome as it is. And it gives us a chilling insight into this kind of insanity. In this story, God intervenes and sanity returns in the nick of time. But so often in our world, others are not so fortunate. I can't imagine what those who hear this story for the first time think of such a bloodthirsty deity. It is a story that begs us to not sit on the surface, but go under the text and mine it for the richness of the human capacity to both love and fear God, and the ability to discern between the voice of God and our own sincere beliefs. Abraham understood God's command to kill his son. He lived in a culture and among a peoples that condoned child sacrifices to appease their gods. He was only able to leave that belief behind by going through a tremendous ordeal. How many of us have certain beliefs that we think are absolutely right and correct, and that nothing or no one can convince us otherwise? And then suddenly something happens, our worldview is rocked, our circumstances shift, our belief systems are challenged, and we experience a 360-degree turn, radically changed. I think this reading is a cautionary tale for us as Christians to take good care to discern the voice of God we are hearing today, both collectively and individually. To ask ourselves, does this voice encourage me in the way of love or violence? Is this the fruit of the Spirit in what I'm hearing, thinking, believing, and doing? If not, chances are it is not God talking. God's intervention in the sacrifice of Isaac was dramatic and instructive, confirming that he never intended for the child of his promise to be killed. If anything, This divine encounter between Abraham, Isaac, and God should cause us to tremble when we think of the number of times we think we believe in our rightness, convinced that our actions and words are in direct accordance with the will of God. Reflecting on this powerful Old Testament narrative, what are those things we cling to, holding tightly, so dear that we cannot give them up and over to God? Because there does come a time in our relationship with the Lord when we will need to be tested. We will and need to be tested. God had to take Abraham near the end of his life through a huge leap of faith so that God could now know that Abraham would hold nothing back. Abraham held God as sovereign, trusted him implicitly, and obeyed him without protest. Now God could use Abraham in the history of salvation, God's plan for his people. And even in this disturbing reading, God is present, and God's desire to break down any cycle of violence and insanity, which can take many forms, some blatant, others more elusive. Archbishop Tutu, in his book, God is a Dream, writes a beautiful and practical way to respond to today's disturbing story. Dear child of God, I write these words because we all experience sadness. We all come at times to despair, and we lose all hope that suffering in our lives and in the world will never end. I want to share with you my faith and my understanding that this suffering can be transformed and redeemed. There is no such thing as a totally helpless case. Our God is an expert at dealing with chaos, with brokenness, with all the worst we can imagine. God created order out of disorder, cosmos out of chaos, and God can do so always, can do so now, in our personal lives and in our lives as nations globally. Indeed, God is transforming the world now through us because God loves us. Wherever the circle of God's love is shrinking, where people are being excluded or disliked, where dogma or doctrines replace the love of God, then God's purpose is not being served. Are we able to hear God's voice, or are we only able to hear our own? Are we ready to be living sacrifices, open, receptive, God-aware, teachable, willing instruments of God's love far beyond ourselves? As the psalmist wrote, God does not desire a sacrifice. All God asks is the sacrifice of a broken and contrite heart. And blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. If every part of our lives are with you and in you, Lord, then everything is made good. Even the things I struggle not to resent, even the draining and hurtful encounters. Let every moment of our lives be your moment, whether or not we consciously remember you. Lord, make us more open to the pulse of your life and the breath of your love. Let your love be unbound in each one. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Hear our prayer. Amen.